So as we saw a few couple weeks ago, things were going really well in his kingdom. And then he chose to stay home from the battle. And we know where that led, to adultery and murder. And God's chastisement was not only the baby dying, but he said there would be public problems for the rest of his ministry. We've already seen the beginning of that. We saw his one son rape his other, one of his daughters. They were half siblings. And then the one brother killed his half brother. Absalom killed Amnon. Then Absalom was on the run. And Joab convinced David to allow him to at least come back to Jerusalem. And that's where we found ourselves here in 2 Samuel 14. I think we made it up to about verse 20. So, Brother Jim, if you could read 20 to 24, and then we'll pray in 2 Samuel 14.
To pitch about this form of peace, as thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. And the king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. And Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in thy sight, my lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Gishur, and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him turn to his own house, and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face.
So I think Joab is going to regret his decision to push to have Absalom to come home. So David's already not obeyed the law because Absalom should have died, right, for what he did to Amnon. But he didn't. And then David now has allowed him back to come back to Jerusalem. So he's just had this one caveat. He's not allowed to see me. So David keeps giving in little by little, doesn't he? And what's going to happen next? Well, we're going to see soon. He will be restored to the king, but the third part of David's chastisement then, or fourth part, I guess. First is the baby, second was the rape, third was the brother killing the brother, and then the fourth part of the chastisement will be Absalom himself. It's going to cause major problems. But first, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue studying your word. May we continue to learn from the life of David, a man after your own heart, Lord, and yet a sinner like the rest of us. May we learn, Lord, the dangers of sin and what it can do to our ministry, our testimony, and even those around us. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us your wisdom and that you would work miracles in our hearts through this time in your word. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So let's look at verse 25, Howard, and see what Absalom was like. Kind of brings back memories of Saul, doesn't it? Good looking, tall. Absalom, it says, was probably the best looking guy in the kingdom, the king's son. And that's actually turns out not to be such a good thing, as we will see. So, Brent, 26 to 33.
And Absalom were born three sons and one daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of a fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again a second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house, and said unto him, Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, Wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king, and bowed himself, bowed himself in his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom.
So we see Absalom has got some issues, don't we? He sets Joab's field on fire just to get his attention. But Joab's still helping him. Joab's a faithful general. And he's now restored to the king. Face to face, things seem to be getting better, but they're actually going to get worse. Any thoughts or questions before we dive into 15 and see the fourth part of David's chastisement? All right, Philip, if you could do 1 through 6 for us. There it is. Stole the hearts. He was good looking. He's the king's son, so he already demands respect in that regard. And he uses that to his advantage to steal the hearts of the men of Israel. And so it's now been, as you see in verse 7, it's been 40 years since David was anointed way back by Samuel as king. And David is about to lose his kingdom for a while, which God prophesied would happen. So this is the fourth part. First was the child died, then Amnon raped Tamar, then Absalom killed Amnon, and now Absalom is stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. How sad. So James, if you could do for us 8 through 12.
Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem at the call, and they were in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonites, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilon, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, and the people increased continually with Absalom.
They went in their simplicity. They were just following the king's son. They didn't know what he was up to. And yet, the people increased continually. The conspiracy was strong. The conspiracy to literally steal the kingdom away from his father. He is David's son, so he is in the proper line. But technically, he shouldn't become king until David dies, right? That's how it's supposed to work. But Absalom's trying to rush things. So thoughts or questions? We're seeing now this chastisement coming to pass. It hasn't been very long, chapter-wise, since David's sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And yet things are really falling apart, aren't they? And look, I mean, it's going to get worse, but look how many people have already been affected by one person's sin. Now the kingdom is swaying toward his son. And, of course, Amnon is dead. All of this because of his sin. And it will, like I say, it will only get worse. Thoughts or questions before we dive into David having to flee his own city? All right. Yes, Beryl. About him stealing the hearts and sending spies. Well, they're about to tell him that you're in trouble. But you're right. It seems like he should have known sooner. So Cash 13 to 23, if you would.
And he came and listened to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all the servants that were with him in Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all the servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came with him. Yeah, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and go down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittites passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness.
Of course, we look back the days when he was fleeing from Saul. How many years did he spend hiding in caves, running to different places to escape? And now look, he's running again. And this gave us a little bit of an answer. Remember, we wondered how many wives and concubines did David have? We knew that he had 7 official wives, but then remember it said when he went to Jerusalem, he got more wives, plural, and concubines. So, if he's able to leave 10 concubines behind, and it implies that that's not all of them, so he had at least 20 wives and concubines. This is David. But remember, he passed this weakness on to someone. We all know who that was, don't we? Who ended up with 1,000. We'll talk about that later. So thoughts or questions? David is on the run with his faithful servants, his faithful soldiers, but he's literally fleeing for his life and for the life of his family from his own son. Anybody? And so the ark went with him as well. So, Kian, if you could do 24 to 29.
And Lo Zadok also, and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art not thou a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your 2 sons with you, him as thy son, and Jonathan the son of Abathar, see, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok, therefore, and Abiathar carried the ark of God again through Jerusalem, and they tarried there.
So David would not allow the ark to go with him. He knew its place was in Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace. And he also acknowledged that God is still sovereign. Did you see that? He knows this is part of the chastisement because God told him this is what was going to happen. But he said, if, verse 25, if I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again. If God allows it, I will be allowed back into Jerusalem and have my kingdom back. So he still acknowledges God is in control. And then he goes to a place you've probably heard of, Brandon, 30 and 31.
And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel unto foolishness.
Anybody ever heard of Mount Olivet? Or otherwise known as the Mount of Olives. So that's where David is now. And Ahithophel, one of his counselors, has defected over to Absalom. And David then wrote, he wrote, of course, most of the Psalms. But if you go to Psalm 3, every now and then in the heading of one of the Psalms, it's actually connected to a specific event, as we saw with Psalm 51, specifically connected to his rebuke about Bathsheba. Psalm 3, it says, when he fled from Absalom, his son. So this one specifically was written while he was on the run from Absalom, Psalm 3. Any volunteers to read Psalm 3 over here for us? Nathan, you good with that? So it gives the psalm a bit more context, doesn't it, when we read it where it fits? But notice David is still trusting the Lord in the midst of all of this pain, all these trials, the chastisement. He's still trusting God. And that tells us a lot about David. So thoughts or questions before we see Hushai sent back to spy for David? Anybody? 2 Samuel, where are we? 15. So verses 32 to 37. Brother Jim, I guess we're back to you.
And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and girt upon his head, upon whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of the Ephraim. And hast thou not there with Zadok and Eleazar the priest. Therefore it shall be that what thing whosoever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Eleazar the priest. Behold, they have there with them two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Eleazar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye shall hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem.
So remember, Ahithophel defected to Absalom. That was one of David's counselors. Here's another one of David's counselors, Hushai, who David says, go back and feign yourself as an Ahithophel, but I'd be my spy, essentially, and try to undo Ahithophel's counsel. You know that kings very often had counselors and would say, what do you think's the best course of action here? And so try to offer counsel opposite of what Ahithophel gives, but at the same time use the priest's sons to send messages back and forth to me as to what's going on in my kingdom with Absalom. So thoughts or questions before we move on to Mephibosheth's servant? Yes, Brent.
So geographically, it's not that far away where David has moved to. He's gone over Kidron, and he's gone. He's gone, obviously, with the help of those from Gath. Do you think that those that took the ark back were in jeopardy?
The priests?
Yeah.
Probably not. I think Hushai definitely was in jeopardy because Absalom had to believe that he was defecting. But the priests, the kings were very careful and had a lot of respect for the priests because they were God's men and were anointed so. And of course, Absalom would have wanted the ark to be in Jerusalem because for the Israel, that represented God's presence, even though he wasn't speaking that way anymore. So I wouldn't think that the priests were in so much jeopardy for that reason, because they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. But I think Hushai was definitely taking his life in his own hands. And, you know, it obviously if Absalom had caught wind of what the priest's sons were doing, which they haven't done it yet, but they're going to. They're going to become messengers. He would have had them killed for sure. But any other thoughts or questions before we dive into 16? So David's on the run. He hasn't gone a long way, it's like Brent said, but he's had to leave his city, the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, was renamed, remember, and he's had to leave it. He's had to leave his kingdom. And he's only got a small contingent of soldiers and people with him. Pretty much the kingdom is now swayed over to Absalom. And what do you think is going to come next? Always a war, right? So remember, we already saw a few people die, but heaps are going to die in this civil war. But where did the civil war come from? David's chastisement. And so always others get affected when we sin against the Lord, don't they? Those around us. And for David, it's major. So no other thoughts or questions before we look at Ziba? Is that you, Howard? Verses 1 to 4.
When David went past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and up upon him 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, these asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy son's master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth in Jerusalem. For he said to Today shall the house of Israel restore me in the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, O Lord, O King.
So if you remember the story of Mephibosheth, which Anna and Brandon and Maggie sang that beautiful song about, David asked if there were any descendants of Saul left. Remember, he had promised Jonathan that if there were, he would. And Mephibosheth, who was lame in his feet, Ziba was his servant, was given back Saul's land. But he chose to stay in Jerusalem here, Mephibosheth did, rather than to go with the king. So that's not so good, is it? He should have stayed with the King David, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to stay in Jerusalem. We'll see more about that later. And then Shimei, Brother Brent, verses 5 to 14.
And when King David came to Barbarim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, son of Gera, came forth and cursed till he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, who scared thou as grain. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Uriah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. The king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there.
So I think, honestly, Shimei was trying to commit suicide here. But remember, he was a descendant of Saul, so he still has a lot of bitterness over David taking over the kingdom from Saul. And so that none of that's surprising. The surprising part is David's response, isn't it? David had all these mighty fighters with him. And Shimei is one guy throwing rocks, cursing David. And they said, let us just go take off his head. But his response is unique, isn't it? Most of us would have said, yes, please. Take care of that guy. But David said, no, let him curse. This is part of God's plan. So what's David really saying when he says that? That this God's allowing this to happen. He's allowing Shimei to curse me and throw rocks at me, and I'm not going to do anything about it. What is David really saying? Any thoughts or questions? Yes, Kat?
Show him mercy, for the Lord has shown me mercy.
Okay. So he's trying to
just a guess.
Behave mercifully. Anything else? Yes, Howard?
Yeah.
That's right. So he had the opportunity. And remember, how many times did he have opportunity to kill Saul? Who was chasing him, tried to take his life multiple times in his bed with spears, chasing him in caves and so forth. And every time David didn't take the opportunity, even though his generals said, here he is, let us kill him. He's your enemy. That was another example of David saying, I'm going to leave this with God. God has allowed this to happen. He used God twice. Did you see that? Verse 10, the Lord has said unto him, curse David. So David, again, recognizing the sovereignty of God, that God is in this. And he acknowledged, this is just part of the chastisement that I deserve for my sin. and I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. So it reveals a lot, doesn't it? Any other thoughts or questions? Beryl. Yep. Maybe the Lord will see this and requite me good for the cursing. Maybe the Lord, if I choose to respond properly to the cursing, maybe the Lord will bless me for that. And is David going to get his kingdom back? If you know the story, he is. But not before his son dies. Another son. Amnon's already been killed. Which Amnon deserved to be killed for raping his sister. But now he's soon to lose Absalom. Any other thoughts or questions? So here we have more chastisement. He's lost his child. His son rapes his sister. His son kills his son. Now his other son is trying to steal the kingdom away. And to add to all of that, while they're fleeing, this descendant of Saul shows up and starts throwing rocks and cursing David.